Thank you, Dan, and I hope what the Lord's placed on my heart does help us prepare. I think it will. We may take a trip through my mind today, and that can be a scary place. Seriously. Because sometimes my thoughts are all jumbled up, and I can make sense of them, but bringing it forth to make sense sometimes is the scary part. But yet the Lord's never failed me, so I can say definitely He hasn't failed me yet. So let's hope it doesn't start today, which I have faith it won't. I'm teasing, of course. Paul talks about looking inward at ourselves and judging ourselves. In the last few days this week, I don't remember when, what day this came across the radio, but it was this week. I have a tendency to listen to a radio station called K-Love. It's mostly music. But on this one day, they had a, I guess you'd call it a poem prayer. It's a poem, but it's also a prayer. Got it sent to us in an email from my daughter also, but I had already decided that I was going to use it today because it made me think of where am I in my walk. It made me reevaluate myself. I tend to be somewhat of a pessimist. I try not to be, but it comes out. And I think, who am I in Christ? Who is Mark Hill? You know, and I think, what kind of choices am I making in my life? Are they the right choices I need to be making? Because with each choice we make, there's consequence. Consequences aren't always bad. Consequences can be good. But they can also be bad. And so as I was preparing for a sermon, this sermon, that's where my thoughts were at. And I hope that the things that I bring forth this morning will be of worth to all of us. Because I think it's good for us to sit back at times and say, okay, where am I at? You know. Let me read this and we'll get started, and some more of my thoughts will definitely come out. You'll have to excuse me if I'm a little bit emotional. Because there's times I don't like where I am, and I don't like who I am. But I know I have a Savior that I feel like I've given my life to. But then I think, have I really given it to Him? When I ask these questions, I hope all of you ask yourselves the same questions. Because if I'm asking them to me, I know they're good questions. Maybe not so much. Like I said, I got this off a radio station. And it's by a person by the name of Blake Williams, evidently who wrote it. But it starts out. And I think we all feel this way from time to time. I'd like to think we don't, but we're human. We have human emotions. We have ups and downs in our life. I don't really worship these days. I don't really stand up to praise your songs or prayers or actions or with anything. I'm full of all the right moves, I'm full of all the right words, I am full of all the right religion. But it is all just illusion. I am really lonely, lost, calloused, jaded, cynical, too religious, too realistic, and well, really just too lazy to worship you anymore. I've lost my first love. I've lost the joy of your presence, but most of all, I have lost the fear of your glory. Father, I need to see you again. Like Isaiah, I want to stand in awe of your glory, to fall down at your feet, to come face to face with your perfection, your radiance, goodness, holiness, awesomeness. I want to stand before you and see for who you are and me for who I am. I want to be undone. I want to know me for who I really am. I want to see the depths of my heart and know that you are the only way. You are the only truth. You are the only life. I want to see me and understand what it really must have taken for you to love me, to care for me, see me, speak to me, want me, communicate with me, die for me. Die for me. Die for me. Lord, I want to stand in that place where all I can see is your glory and my sin. Because in that place, I can't help but worship you. Lord, let me come undone. Undo my heart, Lord, undo my heart. Break down these walls that I love so much. No, wait, don't. I'm scared. I don't know if I can handle this. Don't. But I can't live this way anymore. I can't stand here in this half-life, this going through the motions of life, not really a live life. Father, I need you to come in and do what you must. Cut out the tumor on my heart. Break down the walls that I love. Let me come undone. Undo my heart. Let me worship you again. I was pondering these things over throughout the week since I heard it. And I got to thinking, yeah, I know all the right moves of being a Christian. But do I do them for the right reasons? And I know the right words. I can baffle somebody for a long time if I need to. But those right words, are they really sinking into my heart? And are they changing my life? And yeah, I'm full of all the right religion. But I don't think it's religion that God wants. He wants our heart. I mean, I can be religious and go to football. I can be religious and do a lot of things. But like I said, I've come to find out that it's not religion that God wants. It's my heart. And I worry if I've lost my first love, the love of Jesus Christ. I worry that I become cynical or calloused. Because that can happen. Life has a way of making us calloused, all the things we just have to deal with in life. But yet we have a Savior that He did die for me. And He died for each and every one of us. And some of the thoughts that I had running through my mind is, am I a make-believe Christian? Or am I for real? I've only been around for 20 years. It's not a long time. But it's long enough to see that I've seen people, not just in this church, but in life, that proclaim to be Christians, but yet when it comes down to it, and I see their actions and the things they do and the things I hear come out of their mouths, and especially their actions, they may have went to church since they were toddlers, went through Sunday school and went through all the right classes and learned all the right things. But this is harsh, but I see them, and sometimes I fear for myself that I'm a make-believe Christian, a wannabe. That my heart is hardened and that it's not soft like it used to be. That I'm not fertile soil. These are things I worry about. Like I said, I somewhat tend to be a pessimist, which is too bad. I like being an optimist better. But those are the things that I've had on my heart. And what about the choices that I've made in life? I've made a lot of bad choices, believe me. A lot of you know of some of the bad choices I've made. A lot of you know about some of the bad choices I've made since I have been baptized. And I'm very thankful that when you see those, you call me on them. Hopefully I'm a decent human being and I don't lash out, but I take those things and I ponder them over, and hopefully it makes me better. And if I need to go back and correct things, I do that. That is being a Christian. And I was thinking about King David. I'm not going to go read about him. But I was thinking about King David and when he was young. And he made a lot of right choices. And the Lord was with him. But then if you read about David's life and study his life, he made some bad choices that cost people their lives. And I always thought David was I still think he's a great person. I do really think he was a man after God's own heart. But unless I've misread somewhere, he was not a very happy individual when he died. His family had went wrong. He had all kinds of problems with his children. I don't believe he was a happy individual. David's life is a very good one to look at. Someday I hope to put something together to bring to us that follows David's life. Then I thought about Adam and Eve and the choices that they made. And I go to Genesis, the third chapter. I'm not going to read it all. We know about Adam and Eve. They were told not to partake of a certain fruit. What that fruit was, we don't know. We just know it was fruit. But yet they were beguiled by the serpent, and they were lied to. You can say Eve was lied to, but Adam was also. He didn't have to do what he did, so it's their fault. But they made a choice to go ahead and partake of that fruit, which was forbidden. And they had consequences. that actually come all the way down to us because of Adam and Eve's sin. They call it Adam's sin. That we were condemned. But Jesus Christ redeemed us. He bought us back with the price of his life. But yet they still had consequences for their actions and their choices. And in verse 14, in the third chapter of Genesis, it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The serpent made a choice to do what he did, and had consequences to face. "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Eve made a choice, and she had a consequence. And because of that, all you women have to put up with us men. "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return, and into dust shalt thou return." Adam made a choice, and he had a consequence. And the Lord didn't finish there. "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Take a little side note here on that one last verse there, because I've heard people that want to justify their pornography. The Lord made us naked. Yes, he did. But when I read this, the Lord also clothed us. Sorry. "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and flaming and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Another consequence is they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They made choices in their life which weren't good ones at the time. And they had consequences to deal with. Let's go to the Book of Mormon, page 224, to the third book of Mosiah. This is the people of King Benjamin, and he had given them a proclamation, and he had also given them a speech. And it expounded basically the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, and in verse 5, And it is the faith which we have had on the things which our king hath spoken unto us, and hath brought unto us this great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with such exceeding joy. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God, to do his will and to be obedient to his commandments in all things that he shall command us, all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, that we may that we may not drink of the cup of the wrath of God. That's what these people said to King Benjamin. And he says, and now these are the words which King Benjamin desired of them. And therefore he said unto them, ye have spoken the words that I desired, and the covenant which ye have made is a righteous covenant. And now because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him, and have become his sons and his daughters. And under this head ye are made free, and there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ. All you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called, and he shall be called by the name of Christ. These people had a choice to make after they had heard the word. And they made a good choice, and they had good consequences at this point. And that's what I would like to do with my life, is make the good choices. Make the choices for Christ. Because I want to be his son. And I want all of us to be sons and daughters. It should be a goal that we strive after. Because in this life, there will be sorrow. But hopefully, if we make the right choices in the afterlife, we won't have those sorrows. If we make the right choices, hopefully we'll end up in heaven. Because I truly want to be his son, or one of his sons. I'm going to go to the 11th chapter of Mosiah. Kind of got stuck in Mosiah, I'll be honest with you. But it's a good place to be stuck. The 11th chapter of Mosiah on page 288. This is where the son of Alma was struck down because of his lifestyle and the things that he was doing. Alma and the sons of Mosiah were going about and creating havoc in the church and trying to lead people astray. And he was struck down. And the people prayed for him. And then after they had prayed, that Alma received strength in his limbs and his And he had some things to say, and in verse 185, and it came to pass that after they had fasted and prayed for the space of 2 days and two nights, the limbs of Alma received their strength, and he stood up and began to speak unto them, bidding them to be of good comfort. For said he, I have repented of my sins and have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. And the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, must be born again, yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters, and thus they became new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. And I say unto you, Unless this be the case, they must be cast off, and this I know, because I was like to be cast off. A lot of us have somewhat been in that situation because of the choices that we made in life. But yet most of us in this room have made a choice to go into the waters of baptism and to give our life to Christ, that we wouldn't be cast off. Nevertheless, after waiting through much tribulation, repenting nigh unto death, the Lord in mercy hath seen fit to snatch me out of an everlasting burning, and I am born of God. My soul hath been redeemed from the gall of bitterness and bonds of iniquity. I was in the darkest abyss, but now I behold the marvelous light of God. My soul is racked with eternal torment, but I am snatched, and my soul is pain no more. I rejected my Redeemer and denied that which had been smoked, and denied that which had been spoken of by our fathers. But now, that they may foresee that he will come, and that he remembereth every creature of his creating. He will make himself manifest unto all, yea, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess before him. Yea, even at the last day, when all men shall stand to be judged of him, then shall they confess that he is God. Then shall they confess, who live without God in the world, that the judgment of an everlasting punishment is just upon them. And they shall quake and tremble and shrink before the glance of his all-searching eye. Have any of us ever put ourselves in the place of Alma? Or thought about our lives and what they could have been if we hadn't made the right choice? I think about my life and what it could have been like. And we had two songs about prayer this morning. And I truly feel like it was, a lot of it had to do with the prayers of my wife and others that I'm here today. Because I was definitely on the wrong path. Hopefully I've made the right choices. I feel like I've made the right choice to follow after Jesus Christ by becoming baptized. But yet I still wonder, am I a true Christian or am I make-believe, a wannabe? Because you see, when I look inward at myself, I can see the bad things. Because I know myself better than most people. But yet God knows me better than myself. I don't like being chastised, but then again, I think I do like being chastised. Because if I wasn't chastised, that would tell me he doesn't love me. When a parent gives up on a child, they don't chastise them anymore because they don't care. Excuse me. And I don't want to be found that way with the Lord, that he doesn't care about me. Because many of us have made a choice to follow after Jesus Christ. And sometimes I wonder about my commitment, if I am true to the commitment I made at that time. And I go to the 9th chapter of the book of Mosiah on page 259. The other Alma I was talking about, this is Alma, his father. And he had heard all the things that a person by the name of Abinadi had prophesied and spoken of concerning Christ and his coming. And they had gotten cast out into the wilderness, and Ben-Alma had taken up preaching to some people. And in verse 38, on page 259 of the Book of Mormon, the ninth chapter of Mosiah, "And it came to pass that he said unto them, Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called." And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another burdens that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as a witness of God at all times and in all places, and in all things and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Do we become ashamed of our beliefs in Jesus Christ at times when we're out in the world talking with people? Or by our actions that we do and the conversations we have? Are we ashamed of it? Or do we stand as a witness of God all the time? I can't answer that for you. For myself, I have to say no, I don't. I don't like it. But I try to be an honest individual. So I've had to reevaluate myself. And maybe when you start getting gray hair, you do it more often, I don't know. But you look back on your life and the things that you've done, and you wonder. And I know we're not supposed to look back, but we do. But yet, then I see some of the choices I've made in the last, I'll say 22 or 23 years. And they've been decent choices. They've brought me here. And now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before him, that ye have entered into a covenant with him, that you will serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour out his Spirit more abundantly upon you? And now when the people heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, This is the desires of our heart. And I have to question some here that I know the difference between right and wrong. I know that they're accountable for their actions. And I know that they want to do what Alma's brought forth here, that they want to be willing to bear people's burdens and to rejoice and to mourn with those that rejoice and mourn. But I don't know what it is keeping them from making that step. That step of baptism where you definitely witness unto God that you're definitely willing to follow after Jesus Christ. I don't know. I guess this is where I say my famous quote, oh well. Because I don't understand it. I mean, I know where my head was at, and I knew for a fact that if I didn't change my life at one time, I was going to burn in hell, and that's just the way it is. And I suppose that fact, and I hope this doesn't get taken wrong, but it scared the hell out of me. Because I believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell, that they are places to where we go. It's just not figments of our imagination, as some would like to think. 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, page 162. This whole chapter is about baptism, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read verse 18. Because it says, "But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, After that ye have repented of your sins, and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water." See, it's keeping his commandments. If you know better and you don't do it, you're breaking a commandment. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. "Because you need to witness unto the Father that you're willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even the tongue of angels. And after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me." I remember reading that verse and it struck, I wasn't even baptized yet, and it struck me to the core. And the reason it did was, is because by this time I had been taught and I knew the difference between right and wrong. And I knew that I had to be baptized. Alvin ought to be lucky that I didn't call him at 5 that morning, because I felt like it. I waited till 7. I'd been up all night. Well, yeah. Pondering these things over. And I'd actually read this verse that night, I believe. This verse and the proclamation of King Benjamin. And it did cut to the core of what needed to be done. Let's skip down to verse 27, because it talks about the gate by which you should enter, and that gate is baptism. You know, if you want to get into heaven, you got to get through the gate. "And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have done..." I'm sorry. "And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done." Because sometimes that's what there is a thought out there in the religious community, that once you're baptized, it's done. It's over with. You've made it. I don't believe it. I believe in an enduring faith, because I believe that's what the scriptures talk about. "Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly on the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men." Doesn't say stay stagnant where you're at. Press forward with an eye single on Jesus Christ. Because it goes on to say in verse 30, "Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ." You know, not just reading it for words to read, but taking it in and pondering it over, rolling it around in your mind like something, like good food to savor. Feast on it. Then it goes on to say, "and endure to the end." You know, endure in the faith. The belief of Jesus Christ, and the belief that there is a heaven and a hell, and that God really does love us, and that he sent his only begotten Son to die for me and to die for you. "Behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life." There's a promise. There is a promise. "And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, And there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. And I say amen. Now we actually get to the sermon. Matthew 13. You know, like I said, my mind's a scary place to be at times because it can jump around so much I can't keep up. And as I was pondering over this poem prayer that I read and was taking it in and evaluating myself again, you might say, first thing that popped into my mind, close to the first thing. I don't know what the first thing was, but I'm going to say this was one of the first things that popped into my mind was the parable of the sower. And I thought, what? So I asked, what's the deal with the parable of the sower, Lord? And he said, what kind of soil are you? And I thought, I don't know. I'd like to think I'm good soil, but I had to think about it. So I had to go back and read it and really think about it. Because it matters. But I'll start with verse 15 of chapter 13 of Matthew. This is Christ speaking. And what it is the disciples that ask him, you know, why do you speak in parables? Probably wasn't said in that tone, but why do you speak in parables? So he expounded it to him. And I worry about us as a church, not individuals, but as a whole, honestly. Honestly. We got to be honest with ourselves and with each other. Because it says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they've closed. Questions for me, where's my heart at? Has it waxed gross? Have I become hard-hearted? I worry about it because sometimes I do get hard-hearted. My wife knows it better than anybody. She's the one that gets to listen to me vent most of the time. Are my ears dull of hearing? Are they dull of hearing the word? Do I get tired of listening to the people preach to me, the preachers preach to me? You know, does it go in one ear and out the other, or does it stop in the middle and let me ponder it over and wonder, how can I apply these things to my life? You know, are my eyes closed that I don't see the testimonies that are all around me of God's goodness? Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. Understand it with my heart. And should be converted and I should heal them. You know, I've got this thought of mine that I don't really believe Peter was converted until after the resurrection. It's my own thought. Have I really been converted? I'd like to think so. I'm standing up here. I've been called of God. But have I really been converted to Jesus Christ? Converted to His gospel and converted to His ways. Verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where there had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I looked at this and I thought, hey, there's four different types of ground here that the seed fell upon. There was the wayside. There were those in the stony places, not much earth. You can think of it as a lot of rocks. Some fell among thorns. There was thorny places. And then there was good ground. Let's skip to verse 18. It gets explained here. And the question still comes to my mind, though. What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil are you? Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That is he which receives seed by the wayside. There are those that have heard the word. I don't see how you can live in this country and not have heard the word. Maybe other countries, but in the United States, I'm sure there are probably places, I don't know where they're at, but it didn't take hold. And Satan grabbed the seed and took it away. He must have put thoughts in their heads or whatever it might have been, but for whatever reasons, they weren't ready. The ground wasn't broke up. And the seed just kind of fell wherever on them. They didn't take it to heart. I was in a study class for baptism. And there was a young man who's not a member, well, he's not a young man now, but at that time he probably was. I was younger then. came to one of the meetings, and I heard him talking. And it just amazed me. He knew all the scriptures. He could quote them. And after he had left, I asked one of the other elders that was there, I don't understand, how can this person know the scriptures like he knows them, but yet he's never been baptized? And the answer was quick. And the answer was, he doesn't take it into his heart and he doesn't live it. There's a lot of people that know the scriptures. A lot of people that know the scriptures, but they don't apply it to their life. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. We've all probably seen people like this. Boy, they hear the word and they take it in and they're all joy and everything's great. And I'm going to live happily ever after. And then they might get into a discussion with somebody that calls them on some of their beliefs. And maybe they were a little off. They heard the word. And they took it in, but they didn't really have any. There was nothing there. The roots of the gospel of Jesus Christ didn't sink in and grab a hold. And when the persecutions come, and we're told that the persecutions will come, they fade away. You can probably think of people that have been members of our church and the same things happened. They faded away. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. To me, it's pretty much self-explanatory. Yeah, when I was thinking about these verses here, about the seed falling amongst thorns, and I was thinking of my backyard, actually. Because I've got some grass that's taken good root. It lives well when it's fed right, when it gets the moisture, but when the moisture's gone and the heat bears down, it goes brown and it becomes dormant. But you know what? The weeds keep on growing. And I wonder if that's not what we're like at times. Well, if that's not like I am at times. You know, my faith becomes dormant. But yet the weeds keep growing around me. And hopefully that the world doesn't choke it out. I'm still here at this time. So if you ever see the weeds come up around me, take out that sickle and cut them down for me, would you? So I can stay. But he that receiveth seed into a good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. We've made commitments. Those that have been baptized, we've made that commitment to follow after Jesus Christ. Hopefully the things I've brought forth this day will help me to become a real Christian. Hopefully I'm not a make-believe. Hopefully I'm the good ground. Sometimes I wonder if I'm not the type that seed has become scattered amongst thorns. I worry about that. Because I know myself. And I'm hoping that the word doesn't ever get choked out. But it's consequences that we have in life to deal with because of the choices that we make. Hopefully we'll make the right choices, and hopefully we'll always be that good soil, that good ground, that good earth, that we can actually be of worth to our Creator and our Savior Jesus Christ. And that we can truly be called Christians. Thank you.